urban orcharding here at Rosie on the House with Farmer Greg, and we're making our way through everything you need to know about having your own little urban orchard on your home. Or like Greg said, if every home in Arizona put a fruit tree in their front yard, what would that look like? Organized with neighborhood, your community. And what about planting time? I mean, this is hailed by most experts, the optimal time to stick it in the ground.
For citrus, we're trying something new this year. Like I said, I've been doing this for 20 years, educating.
And you're not afraid to experiment.
And when I'm experimenting, know that our fruit trees are guaranteed. So people can find out more about that at fruittrees.org.
You're not experimenting with customers. This is experimenting
exactly.
On the urban farm.
Exactly. I do a lot of experimenting. So now's a great time to plant citrus. We're going to have to be cognizant of any cold freezes that come up, in December, January. So we'll want to make sure that we're covering newly planted trees.
There's your tool. Do you use that for
frost cloth?
Well? Okay.
And then for deciduous trees. Deciduous trees are the kind of trees that lose their leaves in the winter. Those are the apples, peaches, apricots, plums, pomegranates, figs, berries, grapes. Those are deciduous. Those go in January. Best time to plant them is in January.
Okay.
So October, and this weekend, today at the nursery, we're open. You can come down and see us. Well, the nursery, the pop-up nursery, will also be open the second weekend of November. And next weekend, we actually do our annual Urban Farm Fruit Tree Open House at my place. So they can find all about that at urbanfarm.org.
And that's next weekend.
That's next weekend.
Go tour the urban farm, see yep. what we're talking about here.
Live and in person.
Excellent.
Yeah, exactly.
Good time to plant citrus. Save your stone fruits. If you're doing your stone fruits and your deciduous trees in January, but I buy them from you now, are they bare root or do you have them in a growing 5-gallon pot and I just keep
Great
it on the
question.
Patio and and hang out? Or
no, we've designed this program. You can get fruit trees from us now. You're actually paying for them. So you're pre-ordering trees. And then you come and pick them up from us in January at our pop-up nursery. And we have all the supplements and, we have everything you need for the success of your fruit trees. And it'll be available to pick up in January at our pop-up nursery.
Between now and then, is there any benefit to digging that hole and doing soil prep? Or does it make a difference if I give the ground a little time after I prepare before planting?
Absolutely does. And I asked this in classes, and I always stick up my arm. I said, and this is my arm's up because I'm guilty of this. How many people have purchased trees and plants and never planted them?
Yeah.
Right? Right. And so by pre-digging your holes, you're ahead of the game. All you have to do is bring it home and put it in the ground. For the deciduous in January, you can come and see us this weekend or the second weekend of November, and you can actually buy the supplements and the soils that go in the hole. You pre-dig your holes, you put all that, mix it in a wheelbarrow, put it all back in the hole, and let it start curing so that when your deciduous trees arrive in January, it's a super easy dig. You just, dig it out a little bit, plop the tree in the ground. Most of them do come bare root, and which means there's no dirt around the roots. And you just take it home, drop it in the ground per our directions, which I got plenty of, and, you're good to go. So, yes, pre-digging your hole, pre-filling your holes is really important.
And the ones that I've planted bare root versus ones that were 5 or 10 or 15 gallon or whatever the case may be, I always feel so silly out there with a stick sticking it in the ground.
Right.
It is so counterintuitive to what I'm used to and but it does seem like they sprout and take root faster
Here's what's happening with them. Bare root trees basically are grown. Our grower is near Sacramento. They grow all the trees there. In fact, I was there 3 years ago in the summer, and I saw 20 million fruit trees in the ground. That was a sight to behold. And so they're harvesting them between Thanksgiving and Christmas. They dig them up out of the ground, they bundle them and send them to us while they're dormant. So they arrive to us while they're dormant. We get them all pruned up and ready for you to pick them up. You come and pick them up from us and take them home while they're dormant and put them in the ground. So they break dormancy in the ground where they're going to spend the rest of their life. Potted trees, on the other hand, you don't know how long they've been in the pot. You take it home, you take it out of the pot. Some of the soil may fall away. Some of the roots might break. And then you get it in the ground. I like bare root trees better for that reason, because you plant the tree where it's going to spend the rest of its life, and then it just explodes.
They do, and it's a lot of fun to see that first year of growth after planting it, of basically what looks like a twig.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, three ways to kill your fruit tree. We definitely want to talk about that.
And can I ask one question real quick, though, about the bare roots? When I stick it dormant in the ground, do I start watering it yet? Or?
Oh, yes. Yeah, so the watering methodology, I have a whole watering methodology. In fact, on October 31st, I'm going to be giving multiple classes, 20-minute classes called Watering, Fertilizing, and Planting Your Trees. And I cover all that. I have a very specific watering methodology that basically follows the flood irrigation thought process. You water your trees once a month in the winter, twice a month in the summer. And there's more to it than that, and how you plant it and the supplements that you put in your hole. But one of the ways that people kill trees is they overwater trees.
And we'll use that to transition right into three ways to kill it.
Overwatering your trees
will be number one.
Is number one, because a drooping tree could be overwatered, or it could be underwatered.
But so all immediately think it's drooping, add water.
Exactly. So people add more water and people add more water, and then, you know, the tree, you know, kicks. So overwatering your tree, watering incorrectly, is one way to kill your trees. Another way is to plant them in a really hot microclimate, like gravel or with block walls around. Basically, you cook your tree to death. What I tell people to do is go out in the middle of August and stand in the middle of your yard where you want to plant your tree and see if you want to live there. See how hot it is. So there's things that we can do. If you have gravel and block walls, there's things that we can do. We'll talk about that in a little while, how to fix it. But planting in gravel with block walls around it is a sure death knell for the tree. And number three way to kill your fruit trees is to plant them in lawn. They usually get overwatered in lawn because it's sprinkled, and the Bermuda grass will outcompete the tree.
That Bermuda root is quite an aggressive force. And once it gets started, man, that's a hard one to get out of there.
Well, I have solutions for all of that, multiple solutions for all of that. But if you're just going to plant in a lawn, you have to do it consciously. If you're going to plant in a gravel area, you have to do it consciously. If you're going to plant in... if you're planting your water, you have to figure out up front how you're going to water them. You have to do it consciously. I have solutions for all of it.
And on that watering, one of them was drip, not a drip fan.
Not a drip fan. Now, I have a solution for that if it's your last resort. But what you want to do, you either want them on flood irrigation so they get a good deep water, or you want to put bubblers in the basin around your tree.
Old school bubblers.
So one of the big things that I talk about in my classes is my 6-6 rule of planting fruit trees. 6 inches of woody mulch, 6-foot basin diameter minimum. So what that woody mulch starts doing is it starts breaking down into this amazing soil. And about twice a year, you want to throw another bag or two of woody mulch on it. And so you get this soil building process under the tree that cools and holds moisture in and makes sure that it gets watered, you know, the deep water. So by applying the 6-6 rule to your fruit trees, they have a limb up.
Nice.
So if you're planting in gravel, what you want to do is you want to rake back the gravel into a 6 or an 8 foot diameter basin, plant your tree in the middle on a mound, and fill it with woody mulch. Did you have a question?
Well, go ahead.
If you're planting in grass, what I want you to do is I want you to cut a 6 foot diameter divot, 6 inches deep, out of the grass. And if you want your grass back, you'll get your grass back in 18 months. But to get the fruit tree started in the lawn, you need to cut this 6 foot diameter, 6 inch deep divot, you know, circle out of the grass, plant the tree in the middle on a mound, so it's, you know, it's higher in the middle, and fill it with woody mulch. One of the ways that fruit trees get killed, I get pictures of this, people weed whack them. Mm-hmm. If you weed whack the base of a tree, good luck, it's gone. So by doing this basin around your tree, your job is to weed whack at the edge of the basin, not near the tree. And what can happen over the course of 12 to 18 months is that the tree will get established. The grass can grow back. So the grass will eventually grow back if you want it. So, you know, you get the best of both worlds. So those are my solutions for too hot of microclimate, for grass, and for watering. Bubblers and a 6-foot basin with 6 inches of woody mulch. Now, if you want to go on the bonus rounds, you actually can add some kind of ground cover. I like sweet potatoes or cowpeas in the basin around your tree, and they will actually shade the soil around the base of your tree. In my front yard 2 years ago, it was 140 degrees at ground level. 20 inches down, this was in August 15th, 2 years ago, 6 inches down, it was 120 degrees down. Down that 6 inches. That's enough to kill your trees. By adding the sweet potatoes or the cowpeas or something else that is on the same watering schedule as your trees, it shades the ground. And underneath my sweet potatoes in the front yard, it was 89 degrees. It's just like putting a fruit tree or a desert tree on the west side of your house to shade your house. You're shading the ground. So these are all of the tricks that I share about in my free online classes that people can take to learn how to grow fruit trees here.
And what I like about that ground cover is it does work as a natural deterrent to weeds as well. The shade, it doesn't bring in the light that germinates a lot of the weeds after rains. It's not going to weed-proof it, but it's going to reduce the amount of weeds. And when we talked about bubblers over drip, that we're talking fruit trees. Drip, if properly installed and maintained, is still great for our mesquites and our Palo Verdes and our ironwoods that don't require the kind of water a fruit tree does, because they're not putting on, you know, these big baseball-sized fruits all over the place.
Right, exactly. And if you have drip, we have something at our nursery we call our drip ring. And it's a drip emitter ring that we've made up that puts out not a half a gallon per hour. It's the ring that puts out half a gallon per hour times 18, so 9 gallons per hour is what it's putting out.
And that's more the type of water volume that a fruit tree needs to give you good, juicy, delicious fruit.
Yes.
All right. Well, we've got one final segment with Farmer Greg here at Rosie on the House. We're talking urban farming and the urban orcharding, and the pop-up nursery is open today. We're down to about 10 minutes here. You're going to run.
I'm going to bust my butt over there.
And that's on?
It's at 4549 North 7th Street. That is just south of Highland on 7th Street. It's a white, nondescript building on the southeast corner of Meadowbrook and 7th Street.